Hey everyone, I'm Gabrielle Santiago and welcome to Living Revelations Podcast. We're here to help you find God real in everyday life. We will be talking about how to hear from God, how to have a relationship with Him, and what it looks like to walk into your God-given purpose as you do life with God. I want to invite you to take life a step at a time closer to Christ with us. This is Finding God Real in Everyday Life. Hey guys, this is Gabby. Thanks for tuning in. So today I will be talking with you all about how Jesus is a man of sorrows. So you might be thinking, a man of sorrows, this doesn't sound like, you know, something positive. But I really pray that, you know, today after we get through some of the scriptures that God has put in my heart, that you would see the beauty of Jesus being a man of sorrows. In Isaiah, I'm going to read in Isaiah 53 today, we read here that Jesus was a man of sorrows. So I'm just going to read this passage and then we'll get into the meat of it. But in Isaiah 53, I'm going to start from verses 3 and read through 6. It says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So I love this. When I was reading this passage, the Holy Spirit was actually highlighting verse 3, what I just read to you all. Right, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And in that moment when I was reading that, the Lord was just showing me this side of him, this side of his sufferings. You know, and I've heard this so many times, and I'm sure you have heard that Jesus is a man of sufferings, and we are to know his sufferings. And Paul even mentions that he finds it joy that he gets to partake of Christ's sufferings. But I feel like I didn't truly understand it until this moment where the Holy Spirit just gave me this revelation of the fact that he loved us so much. Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to be called a man of sorrows, that he was willing to be acquainted with our grief, right? Because it hurt the Lord to see us walk away from him. It hurt him going back from the beginning of Adam and Eve. Like, it hurt the Lord, obviously. And when Jesus became a man and he lived on this earth, he was hurt by the many that rejected him. So he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Yet he still chose to come down as a human. He was God, but he chose to come down, right? To even give himself, to sacrifice himself on the cross, to die for us because he loved us. And so when I read this, I was just like, man, Lord, you love me so much. And he, not just me, but those that are listening, he loves all of us. Like, Jesus died on the cross for all. Now, it doesn't mean that all will be saved because Jesus died on the cross, but now we have to give our life to him. We have to make him Lord over our lives. We have to confess that he is Lord and believe in our hearts. And then we will be saved. But when Jesus died on the cross, it was so that we all would be saved, right? Because he loved us. And we can see too that God loved us, right? For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, like, this was really hitting me. And I just pray as we continue going through some scriptures and talking here that you would receive a deeper revelation of what it means for him, Jesus, to be a man of sorrows. And I want to encourage you all to, you know, I pray that this podcast would only stir in your hearts to go seek after Jesus yourself. You know, because it was dawning on me recently, because I've heard so many times people talking about Jesus being a man of sorrows. But it wasn't until the Lord gave, like, just hit me with revelation that truly marked me. And I want to encourage you all, like, don't settle for what you hear from pastors, from podcasts, from, you know, other people. It's great, but let that provoke you to seek Jesus out yourself. Because you will only be able to taste and see his goodness when you actually meet him face to face and you have that touch from the Lord. And you will know when you've got a touch from God. Right? So when you're going into that time alone with the Lord in the secret place, I would encourage you to not leave that secret place until you know that God has touched your heart, until you know that the Lord has moved on you, that you are still enough to receive from God. Because I'm just going to give this analogy, like, Let's say you hear about this restaurant from someone and they're all raving about it. You personally don't know that it tastes good until you try it out. And it's the same thing with the Lord. You can hear about these things about Jesus. You can know him by other people's knowledge, but you won't be able to taste and see God's goodness yourself until you seek him, right? Until you choose to seek him, until you choose to give your life to him and walk in his ways and walk with him and be his friend. But anyways, going back again to Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected by men. Like, he was willing to, Jesus knew, by the way, before he even became a human, he knew that he was going to be rejected. I mean, he's God, he's all knowing. Scriptures say that he existed before the world was existed. So he knew that he was going to be rejected, but he still was willing to do that because he loved us. He was willing, out of all things, out of all titles that he can be called, he chose to take upon the title of a man of sorrows because he loved us so much. And the fact that he's called a man of sorrows, like, really shows you how much he loves you. You know, usually, like, let's say, you know, you love someone so much and they either hurt you or they're going the wrong direction. Like, it makes you sad, you know, because you love them so much. And the same thing with God, like, he loves us so much. Jesus loves us so much that he was even willing to be acquainted with our griefs. Everything that was bombarding us, he was willing to take that upon himself as a man. All the stresses we experienced, all the hardships, he was willing to take that. And it grieved him to see how those people lived, and even us. Like, yeah, Jesus isn't, like, you know, we get to read him out of the Bible. He's not physically here, but his spirit is here and he's still watching from heaven. He's seated on the right hand of God. And so it grieves him when he sees us walk in sin, guys. It grieves the Lord, and he's still acquainted. He's still acquainted with our grief even now. And so I want to encourage you as well, if those that are listening and there's something in your life that's not right with God, get it right. You know, and it's not just out of this religiousness, but because you acknowledge that God is real. You acknowledge that he loves you, and so therefore you love him. And you need to acknowledge that God knows best for you. There is no other thing in this world, and there's no other possibility for you to experience the best of life outside of Jesus. And you may not know that, but I'm encouraging you to take this opportunity to live for the Lord, and you will see that yourself. That everything that you will experience living in Jesus will be so much better than what you're experiencing now. And here I'm going to continue reading again the same passage in Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Right? Like, Jesus wasn't punished by God because he was bad. He was punished by God because we were bad. But he took it upon himself. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was laid upon him. We can now have peace because Jesus took upon the curse of our sin. And by his stripes we are healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned our own ways. Right, but the Lord has redeemed us. That's the beauty of it all. And I pray, you know, as we get into these scriptures and as you meditate on Isaiah 53, that you truly would be rooted and established in God's love, because that will change your life. Like, when I read this, it was crazy because that whole day I felt like I didn't have any temptation. I wasn't easily angered because I was so consumed with God's love. Like, guys, it just hit me. I know, like, this is not something that I can, like, explain in words, but all I can say was I was just so filled with the love of God. And I pray that we would be so filled with the Lord, with his love, that these temptations around us wouldn't even move us, that our circumstances wouldn't move us, because we are rooted, that we are established, and we're built upon God's love. And that's not just like this religious mental thing, but our hearts are truly wrapped around God's love. So really, like, ask the Lord to show you, to show himself as a man of sorrows. What does that mean? Go ask him. I'm going to read here 10 to 11, Isaiah 53, 10 to 11. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God to bruise Jesus. Why? You might be thinking, why was it pleasing to God? It was pleasing to God because he knew that through Jesus being bruised, that you would be saved, that he could have you back. And I understand that our minds can't understand, like, why does this God care about me? But he does. And the Lord gave me this revelation a couple months ago. You know, like, when you have children, like, if you lose one child, you're not going to be like, oh, I can just make another one. Like, that's a child you lost. And so when Jesus sees us, like, that's how he sees us. He's like, you're my child. That's why Jesus died for us. That's why God sent Jesus, his one and only son, to die for us. And that's why it says here, it pleased him. to bruise Jesus because he knew that through that we would be saved. Through that we could be cleansed, we could be purified, we could be made right with God. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. So it's not talking about Jesus, right? Like he gave up his soul as an offering for sin. But now it says here that Jesus will see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Because why? Like we are Jesus' satisfaction, right? Like he can be satisfied because he knows that now we can be united with him. We can have fellowship with him. And guys, it is so, like, I just feel like I'm at so rest. And you guys know that I struggle a lot with anxiety, but like, I haven't been because I've just been in a place where like, God, you love me so much. You love me so much that you're willing to be a man of sorrows. You're willing to suffer. And so when we know that God was willing to suffer like this, of course I'm not going to give in to worry. Why would I worry when I know how much God loves me? If Jesus was willing to go all the way and die for me, why would he not protect me? Why would he not protect my marriage? Why would he not protect my child? You know, and I was reading John Bevere's book a couple months ago. I think it was called Something About Honor. It was one of his books. But I love what he says because, you know, some people say like, oh, but like so-and-so is suffering or so-and-so's family child died. But I love what John Bevere said, like perhaps they didn't believe in the word of God. They didn't actually claim that as their own promise, which is why they didn't see God's promise. And so I want to encourage you, like, believe in the Lord. Believe in his goodness. Yeah, there may be bad things. And I'm not saying that because we're God's children, we're not going to suffer. But even in the suffering, God will turn it for good and he will strengthen us through it, right? And I do believe that, like, yeah, we will suffer, but it's not going to be outside the Lord's will, you know? And we don't have to be living in worry or not praying for protection because we think that we can't be protected by God. Like, God is our protector. And I love Psalm 23. We will see his goodness and mercy all the days of our life. That is a promise that you get to cling to. And when you doubt, look back at the cross. Look back and read Isaiah 53. The Lord loves you so much. And so if he really went all out of his way to protect you, why would he not protect your life now? Your flesh right here in this earth. So I'm going to continue reading in verse 11. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. We are his satisfaction. We are his joy. We are his joy. And so now that we know what Jesus has done for us, let's live our lives to the fullest, right? Let's give God our best, knowing that he gave us his best, you know? And when I see people waste away their lives, I know it's a lack of revelation of God's love because I lived there. I mean, I had a bad past. I have a video, if you guys haven't watched it or heard it or in the podcast as well, where it's called The Power of Your Testimony. I share it in more detail about my testimony. But I lived a reckless life, but it was because I didn't know. I didn't have the revelation of how much God loved me. But the moment that I knew that God loved me and I knew that he had the best for me, I just felt like I don't want to miss out. I told the Lord, like, Lord, I don't want to disobey you because I know I don't want to live with, what if I had obeyed God? What if I had given God my best? Right? Like God already did everything to give us the best life. And so let's live it out, right? Let's live it out. Isaiah 61, 1-3 talks about Jesus. And also us, for those that have the Holy Spirit. But in particular here, it's specifically talking about the Lord. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Right? It's on Jesus. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has set me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Guys, like, this is what Jesus has done. He's like literally put on a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Guys, understand that a life of sin, yeah, you're a piece of ash. You know, you're just ashes that just here and then they go away. There's no beauty in ashes. But Jesus now has redeemed us as if we never sinned, as if there's not even a sin in our life. That's what he did. He perfected us in his blood. And so now we get to be crowned with beauty. Instead of having mourning, we get to have the oil of joy, right? Instead of having a spirit of despair, we get to put on the garment of praise. We get to praise God because he's good. And so when we remember that he was a man of sorrows, let's also remember that now we don't have to be a man of sorrows, right? Like we don't have to walk in despair because we know that our Savior has raised us up, right? He's raised us up. He's gone ahead of us. And the same spirit in Romans is the same spirit who raised Jesus from the grave will raise us up. We will have eternal life. That's beautiful. This is it. This is it. They will be called oaks of righteousness. This is us. We are oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Like we get to shine for Jesus now, guys. I know so many people right now are like into fame, being an influencer. Honestly, there's no other better title and no other better reputation to have than being a child of God, than displaying his splendor, his beauty. So I want to encourage you all that you all were made for more, that God has a purpose and a plan, and he wants you to experience him, right? Like your purpose and plan is in him. It's all about him. You know, we have a conference every year. It's coming up in May. I think it's going to be May 20th. I'll put the link in the description here of this video and this podcast for you guys to check out. But it's called Discover Your Purpose. And you guys can tune in for free online. You can register to get free access, or you can come in person. We're having a discount now for $10. But you know, in that conference called Discover Your Purpose, so many times people think about like their gifts, right? Like, what do I need to do? But really, like, our purpose is to glorify God. It's to live for him. And of course, God has callings and assignments, but we have to first get that right. And that's the heart of this conference. And, you know, we do invite guest speakers too, so that you can learn to grow in your craft and how to hear from God, how to know your assignment, how to be faithful, a faithful steward of your gifts. But we really just focus, especially in the beginning portion of that conference, and that just that heart of surrender to the Lord, you know, because Jesus is everything. He really is everything. And in him, we get to experience everything. And I really pray, you know, I love Ephesians 3, 17 and 19. Paul says this, I pray that you be rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. So here Paul is praying that we would be able to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is his love, but also to know this love that surpasses our knowledge. So it's like, we can grasp it, but at the same time, we can't because it doesn't make sense, you know? But that's how much God loves us. And I'm telling you guys, like the scripture that says perfect love casts out fear, it's so true. There is nothing in this world that can cast out fear like God's love. There truly is nothing. And so I want to end with Psalm 103, verses 2-5. It says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Man, we have no excuse for our soul to be downcast, even if we're persecuted, even if we're suffering, because what God has done for us is so, it's the value of what Jesus has given us, eternal life, salvation. It's nothing that this world can pay. It can't even be compared to anything that we have here. And so let's not forget, right? Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I want to encourage you all. I know we're starting this new year, but let's continue to not forget the benefits of the Lord, to follow Jesus, to not forget what he's done for us, guys. I was reading Joshua today, Joshua 24, and Joshua reminded the Israelites of what God has done, that he's set them free from Egypt, from slavery, from bondage. Like, let's not forget what Jesus has done. Because many times we stray away when we don't walk with vision, when we forget that it's all about Jesus, that we forget that he chose to be a man of sorrows to redeem us so that we could be, you know, a man and woman of joy, of peace, of love. He's redeemed us from a life of destruction. That's another translation, from the pit. You know, like, this is the Lord. This is what he's done. And I feel like some of you guys haven't experienced this, so I want to encourage you. This is your year to get it right with God. And trust me, you are going to have a powerful testimony where you get to say, I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. He forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. Thank you, Lord. He satisfies our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. I love what the Lord is, because when I was living wrongly with God, a lot of the things that I desired, it couldn't be fruitful. But as I lived my life right with God, I'm starting to see the things that were in my heart as a child, the dreams that I had come to pass. It's crazy. You know, like my husband and I, we have a business too, a marketing business, and I've always had that desire. Like little things like that, like God just redeems it and he shows off, you know, and it's just amazing. The Lord is so amazing. So I would encourage you all, go spend time with him, go hear him, ask God to give you a revelation of what it means for him to be a man of sorrows. So I want to pray for you all. Lord, I thank you so much for every single listener. I pray, Lord, that you would just mark every heart, touch every heart, Lord. Fill them with your peace right now, Jesus. God, I pray that you would give them revelation of what it means for you to be a man of sorrows, what it meant for you to be acquainted with grief, Lord. God, would you just show them how much you love them? Show them how much you love them. Every single person listening, let them be more sensitive to your voice, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I pray that you all have been blessed by this message. Don't forget as well, if you're watching on YouTube or listening on the podcast, to subscribe as well so that you get updates when we have, you know, more teachings and more recordings. And I also want to ask you all too to prayfully consider sowing into our ministry. Help us to continue to do what we do with sharing the word of God and helping others find God real in everyday life. You'll be supporting the thousands of people that are getting impacted, our online Bible studies that have reached girls worldwide, and so much more. You know, we're working on building resources and just things that will equip you to be a discipler of Jesus. So you can give at livingrevelations.com/donations. And if you have any testimonies or need any prayer, please also email us at info@livingrevelations.com. And if you're interested in joining our Bible studies, you can also email and we'll send you the details. So God bless, and I'll talk to you guys next time.
Hi, my name is Taylor.
My name is Clara.
Hi, I'm Kathy.
And my name is Iridia. Revelations has sown a seed in my life.
By just being a community.
By first bringing a community that's kind of just all over the world.
Getting to be surrounded by such a community with like people who have like such a fire for the Lord.
The Lord really put me into a place of faith and showing me what it really means to serve him.
I have been so blessed to get so close to a couple of the girls that are in the community.
I grew up in the church, but I wasn't really living my life the way I am now for the Lord. I'm just so thankful that we're all able to pray together, worship together, read the word together, study together.
Living Revelation has also helped me to zone into the calling that God has over my life.
I'm very much planted, and I feel God really just bringing me to different levels in my life. I hope that you can all also feel like the same kind of blessing and help through a Living Revelations or even through Gabby. So thank you so much.
We have seen the greatest transformation in the girls we disciple through our online Bible studies. Our online Bible study is a place where we dive deep into the Word, learn how to grow our relationship with God, and build community. We have had over 140 girls from over 9 countries be a part of our online Bible studies. Our podcasts have had over 16,000 downloads. Our social media posts are reaching 120,000 people weekly. Our blogs, too, have reached around 17,000 people, hitting almost every continent in the world. We are looking to raise $30,000 this coming year to produce study guides to help others study the Bible, to build a team to produce more media, and to expand our online Bible studies and conferences. Our goal is to transform lives to love Jesus. You can give and partner with us today at livingrevelations.com/donations.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast and are blessed. Check out our blogs at livingrevelations.com and follow Living Revelations on Facebook and Instagram. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast to others if you've been blessed.
see you all in the next podcast.